One of the things that I have learned about wisdom is that when you're a wise person, you don't make rash decisions. When you're a wise person, you sit down and you contemplate the effect of the decision that you're about to make. Do you realize that there is a time coming when people on the face of this earth will have to decide who they're going to worship? Because if they worship the wrong one, they will not be able to buy or sell. We'll talk about it today. You don't know what a delight it is for me to be with you day after day, and what a delight it is for our crew as we do these programs, because we know that as you study through the Word of God, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, you're going to put the living Word of God inside of you. You're going to know how to live, because man doesn't live by bread alone. He lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And if we need to know that, we need to know it as we look at this portion in Revelation chapter 13. Man does not live, hang on to this, by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, life is not a matter of just physical sustenance. It is a matter of being in tune with God. It's a matter of knowing God. It's a matter of intimacy with God. It's a matter of knowing Him in such a way that you are able to stand firm and that you are able to take action. Action that is based on wisdom. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It is to depart from evil. That is wisdom. It is to know God. So as we go to Revelation 13, we're looking at it, just in case that you found this program in the sovereignty of God, we want to welcome you. But we're looking at this because we're studying the book of Daniel. And there's so many parallels between the end of Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 13. And I want us to go back and see that here people are worshiping the dragon because he gives his authority to the beast. So here's a group of people on the face of this earth that are literally worshiping Satan. I mean, they are literally worshiping the devil. Now, when you think of satanic worship, so many times we think of all these kind of mystical things and that. But this is not all these voodoo dances and things like this. It's a very sophisticated worship. The word worship here means literally to bow down. There are two words for worship, to bow down and to serve. So here are people that are bowing down and serving the dragon. The dragon, as we know, is the devil, the serpent of old, Satan. And they're worshiping him because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast?" Now, I'm reading this again because I want you to pick up an important key word, and that important key word is the word worship. So if you were marking the text, which is in your study guide, all right, you would put, I put like a purple cloud around it, and then I color it yellow. That's my word. That's the way I mark the word worship throughout my Bible. All right, so they're worshiping the beast, and they're not only, they're worshiping the dragon, and they're worshiping the beast, and they're saying, "Who is like him? Who is able to wage war with him?" Now, why are they worshiping him? Well, it tells you why. They're worshiping him because they think that he is the supreme power. They think that no one is able to contest him. As a matter of fact, as we saw, he just brought down two representatives of God that no one could kill, the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. So in seeing that, now watch, they're walking by what their eyes are seeing. They're looking at the visible instead of the invisible. They're looking at the temporal instead of the eternal. So here is a whole mass of mankind worshiping Satan, this dragon, who is in all probability, in a sense, personified. And we see that when we study Revelation. But and they're worshiping the beast, this governmental power, this government that he has given his authority to, that he has backed, and they're worshiping him. And there was given to him, to this beast, a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. Now, I want you to keep your hand there, and I want you to go back to Daniel chapter 7. And I want you to go back to Daniel chapter 7, because I just want you to see the parallels. I want you to see them on the side of the page. It says in verse 5, he was given, this beast was given authority to act for 42 months. Right, you take that verse, you go back to Daniel chapter 7, and this is the beauty of marking time phrases. And you go back, and it says in verse 25, he will speak out against the Most High. Now you mark that so you know the he is the little big horn that comes up after the ten horns, and it says he wears down the saints of the highest one. He will intend to make alterations in times and law, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. Time, times, and half a time is 3.5 years. 42 months is 3.5 years. So what you see in Daniel chapter 7 is you get a detail that Revelation 13 doesn't give you at this point, and that is, then it's when it's talking about this beast and it's talking about his authority to act for 42 months, it's the beast and the little bighorn that has come out of the tin that is the authority now. Okay, so you find this beast, and this is important that you remember this. All right, he opened his mouth, back to Revelation chapter 13. He opened his mouth again in blasphemies against God. Now we remember that the little horn, the little big horn of Daniel 7, speaks out against the highest one. So if he's speaking out here, he's blaspheming God. I mean, this is a man that is in open rebellion to God. This is a man that has no sham about him when it comes to pretending to be a Christian. He doesn't need to. He doesn't need to be politically, so to speak, correct, riding both sides of the fence, talking Christianese when he's with Christians and talking other things when he's not. We know from Revelation chapter 12 that there is a multitude of believers on the face of the earth at this time. I believe personally that the church itself is gone. But there are a multitude of believers, because these are people, Revelation 12 tells us, and I want you to go to Revelation 12, verse 17. It says that the dragon was enraged with the woman, with Israel, and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So here are people that are offsprings of Israel because they have believed in Jesus Christ. And therefore, they are on the earth at this time. Now, this man is not trying to appease them in any way. I mean, he is, when it comes to God, he's black and white. He is black, and he is saying, I don't want any of that light. I am totally of the kingdom of darkness. I am the king, and I am ruling. All right. And it says, he opened his mouth, Revelation 13:6, and blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. Now that's very important. His tabernacle, that is those who dwell in heaven. What is the tabernacle of God, or the tent of God, or the dwelling place of God? It's believers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it says, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit who is in you?" What does Colossians say? How does Colossians describe a Christian? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this is a man that is in open, blasphemous rebellion against God and against his people, against his name and against his tabernacle. And then it explains those who dwell in heaven. I mean, he is in a rage at anything or anyone that bears the name Christian or believer in God. And then it goes on to say in verse 7, and this is incredible, it was given to him. Remember, it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Now, if it was given to him to make war with the saints and overcome them, who gave it to him? Who gave him that authority? Well, you say the devil gave him the authority, but who beyond the devil? Who is the supreme sovereign ruler of all the universe? Who creates good and creates adversity? Who is the one who does all these things? It is the Lord. It is the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 45, God says, "I create good and I create adversity. I'm the Lord who does all these things." So this is in the plan of God. This is what I want you to know. And I want you to understand. You say, "But I can't understand a God like that. It is a mystery to me, an absolute mystery to me, why God would allow something like that to go on." Well, let me just go back to Revelation chapter 10 for a minute. In Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7, it says this, "In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished as he preached to his servants, the prophets." And I think that mystery of God is finally, God is going to take his power, but not until God is ready. You say, "I just cannot agree with that." Well, honey, excuse me, or sir, excuse me, you're a man, you're not God. And so you may not agree with it. It may not fit your description of God, but your description of God is off. But that's okay. I mean, it's not okay. We're going to straighten it out. No, what I'm saying is it's not okay, but it's understandable. And it's understandable because what you have to do is you have to keep studying the Word of God. And you've got to study the Old Testament if you're going to get to know God, if you're going to get to understand His ways, if you're going to understand His prophecies. They all begin in the Old Testament. So we come back, and what we see in Revelation chapter 13 is that it was given to him to make war with the saints and overcome them. Now, what does that tell us about Daniel 7? We'll look at it after this announcement.
We spent 3.5 hours in the Word today, and it flew by because we're doing so much in observing so many different parts of the text. It changed my life and helped me own my faith instead of depending on people for my faith. So I would strongly encourage anybody who's even considering it or has thought about it, please come, because it'll change your life.
Go to precept.org/bootcamp to register today. What would it look like for you to impact the next generation? As children grow up, they have lots of questions about life. What if there was a way to help them discover the answers for themselves? Answers that can only be found in the truth of God's Word. At Precept Ministries International, we have created the Discover for Yourself, or D4Y series, to help the little ones in your life do just that. These hands-on books teach the basic skills of Bible study to children as young as 8 years old, unlocking the door to a lifetime of discovering God's Word. Throughout the month of May, for a gift of any amount, we are offering a copy of our best-selling D4Y title, plus a mini-series of 5 Precepts for Life episodes with Kay Arthur and Jana Arndt. Go to precept.org/Jonah to find out more.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Get your pen ready, or your pencil ready, and get your fingers ready. Let's read Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 again, and watch carefully. We're going to find an insight here that is awesome, that helps us understand Daniel 7. It says, "And it was given to him, to the beast." Now, we know we've got a dragon that gives the beast authority. So we've got a dragon and we've got a beast. We've got a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. "Now it was given to the beast to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority," there's another "and" here, "and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him." All right. Now, next to that verse, write Daniel 7:23. Flip to Daniel chapter 7, verse 23. It says, "Then he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms, and it will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it." So we said that that word, the whole earth there, Kol Ara, could be just the Near and Middle East. And yet when we get to Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, we see that this beast is given authority not only to overpower the saints, but authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. So what does that encompass? That encompasses the whole earth. If that encompasses the whole earth, does that encompass your nation? Does that encompass the United States of America? So what does that mean? That means that you have a one world ruler. If he has authority over every tribe and every language and every nation, you have a one world ruler. If you have a one world ruler, you have a one world, so to speak, government. Now, if we just take it as it is. Now, the best way to interpret Scripture is to let it speak for itself, to let God say what he says and to understand that he means what he says. And there's no gymnastics to do in this verse, no mental gymnastics to do with this verse if he says authority over every tribe and tongue and people and nation. I mean, that's what he talks about for God's kingdom that's coming later. Now look at verse 8. "And all who dwell on the earth will worship him." So there you have the word worship again. And you want to mark it again. So they're worshiping the dragon, they're worshiping the beast, and everybody on the whole earth is going to worship him. Now let me just say something, because this is important for you to understand. The Bible is an oral book. It's an oral book. It was written over a number of years by a number of different authors, and it was written to a people that did not have printing presses. The printing presses weren't developed until the 1400s. So every book had to be written by hand. There were no printing presses. So when a book was read to people, because God wanted people to understand the Word of God, he uses the same words over and over again. because he wants you to get the point. He'll say it this way, he'll say it that way, he'll say it that way, so that you do not miss. And this is why the way that we study inductively is so important. We're marking these repeated words so that we're hearing them over and over again. We're able, thanks to the printing press, we're able to have our own copies, and we're able to look at it, and we're able to mark it. It's not going to be passed on to someone else, and see what it says. So it says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone. Now he's going to qualify the all. Does it mean every living creature on the face of this earth is going to worship him? No. What he's telling you is that the extent of the power and authority of this beast, the fourth beast of Daniel chapter 7, the fourth kingdom of Daniel chapter 2, his authority and his power is going to influence all the earth. Every single human being on the earth is not going to worship him, but all the earth collectively is going to worship him. It says, and then he defines who it is. Those whose name was not written from the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb who has been slain. In other words, everyone who was not a believer is going to worship him. Those whose names were written in the book of the life of the Lamb who was slain. Now, who's the Lamb who was slain? When Jesus appeared, John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The Jews understood perfectly because they took a lamb at Passover. They sacrificed that lamb, and it was in celebration of their deliverance out of Egypt. When God said he saw the blood of that lamb on the doorpost of the house, then the angel of death passed over. So the angel of the death, angel of death passed over. When they sinned, they brought a sacrifice. So they understood that the lamb that was slain was Jesus Christ. The lamb that was slain is described in Revelation chapter 5 when he comes and he stands before the Lord and he takes the title deed of the earth into his hands, the scroll that has seven seals and is written on inside and out. He's described as, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the lamb as if it had been slain. Okay, so the people that worship this beast on the face of this earth are not those whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But what are they going to do? Watch what it says. And it says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Now this destined for captivity, to captivity he goes, is a term that is used in the book of Jeremiah. It says, here is the perseverance and faith of the saints. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. All right. In other words, if you're truly a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are truly the offspring of the woman, then, and those offspring of the women are those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, then they're the seed of Abraham. And it says, if they are truly the offspring of the woman, if they are truly believers, then he's saying here that is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. In other words, no matter what you do to me, no matter how you threaten me, I will not bend. I will not bow. I will not worship the beast. Do you see the parallel between Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when Nebuchadnezzar says, you bow or you burn, you go into the furnace, and you bow before the statue, you bow before this government? And they said, no. God is able to deliver us, but if he does not, it does not matter. We will not bow. It's the same here. It's the perseverance of the saints. What you and I learned about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is applicable to us. And it says, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. Now you have a triumvirate. You have three. You have the dragon, you have the beast, and you have another beast. And it says, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. He makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. This is like an unholy trinity. And you see it later on in Revelation. We're not going to go there, but we will when we do Revelation. To worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. And he performs, the second beast, great signs that so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven, just like the two witnesses did. And it says he makes fire to come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs it was given to him to perform. If you're the kind of person that only follows Jesus or only follows others because you see signs and miraculous wonders, you're able to be deceived. It says, they followed him because of the signs which it was given to him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast. Do you see what's happening? Who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And there was given to him, you say, what does that mean? We'll talk about it later. And there was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast. And the image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, small and great, rich and poor, free men and slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark of the beast, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. In other words, if you don't have that mark on your right hand or on your forehead, then you cannot buy and you cannot sell. These are the days that are coming. They are difficult days. They are hard days. And they are going to get worse and worse and worse. Read 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you'll see the character of men in these days. And you and I, beloved, need to determine that no matter what happens, you say, but I don't think I'm going to be here. Honey, it doesn't matter whether you're here then or not. What are you doing in the here and now? What are you doing today? Are you bowing before the world? Are you kowtowing to the world? Or are you standing like a child of God? Are you persevering? Are you believing God? See, it's now that we're to live for Him. And wisdom looks at the future and says, the future is God. And because the future is God, I'm going to walk in the fear of the Lord. That is the beginning of wisdom. And I'm not going to bend and I'm not going to bow. It doesn't matter what they do to me because I know the end of the story. And I know that there is perseverance for the saints and that we come out the winners. So, beloved, live like a Christian, act like a Christian, and don't worship the world.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.